Do again. Good afternoon. We're here this afternoon for four public hearings. Apologize for our PA system this morning as we started the council meeting. We got a short in it and it almost caught on fire. So we've gone back to handhelds. We've got two or three around here, so we're limited on those. And we have one at the podium there. So we'll do the best we can. When council speaks, we'll try to pass it down, make sure that they can be heard best we can. So a little time delays in there. So I will ask Mr. Griffin, our county attorney, and also Mr. Baker's in budget hearings this afternoon. Him or Mr. Godwin, neither one will be here today. So what you've got is what you see, except Mr. Jones will be here shortly. And I'll ask Mr. Griffin to tell you how these hearings will be conducted, and then he'll start with the first hearing. Mr. Griffin.
Good afternoon. When council holds public hearings in zoning cases, they're generally considered to be legislative hearings. Council uses the information obtained during the hearing to determine whether to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner being requested by the applicant. After each application is announced, Mr. Lang will inform council of what happened when this your case appeared before the Planning and Zoning Commission. After that is done, then the applicant for each case will be called on to present any evidence they may have in support of their application. If you're represented by council, your council will coordinate the presentation. If you're not, when you arrive at the podium, state your name and your address. And if your council asks you to make a statement, also give your name and address so that the record can be clear as to who's making each statement if it later has to be transcribed. After you've presented your application, we'll ask whether there's anyone present who wishes to state a position either in favor of or in opposition to the application. After all sides have been heard, then council will decide whether to take action. If the Planning and Zoning Commission has deferred taking action, council will do likewise. If the Planning and Zoning Commission has made a recommendation, then council may, if they choose, also take action today. Are there any questions regarding the procedure? If you have a cell phone, if you don't mind, please turn it off or turn it to silent first. Thank you. Mr. Lang?
The first application is conditional use number 1679, the application of Herker Property Maintenance Company to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an office and warehouse building with an apartment to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being Dagsborough for 100 Sussex County on a parcel containing 2 acres more or less lying north of Route 54, 0.3 mile east of Road 354. Just for reference, gentlemen, Route 54 is old Route 54. It comes from Frankfort towards Clarksville. It is not Route 54 number. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on March 8th of 2007. The commission was provided with an exhibit booklet by the applicant. The council all has copies of that same exhibit booklet, and it is a part of the record. We heard comments from DLDOT, the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department. There were two letters of support on behalf of the applicant from Wawa Incorporated and Mercantile Peninsula Bank. The applicant was present, David Rutt, attorney, and gave presentations. Mr. Rutt submitted 11 proposed conditions for consideration. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission discussed the application. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1679 for Herker Property Maintenance Company for an office and warehouse building with an apartment based on the record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use is similar to other uses in the vicinity of the property. Two, the use of the property maintenance facility promotes local employment and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the area. Three, the project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. Also, it will not create an excessive amount of traffic or noise since most of the business activity will occur off-site. This recommendation of approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, there may be one directionally related sign on the site not to exceed 32 square feet in size on each side. No backlit signage shall be permitted. Two, the hours of operation for the site shall be from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Three, the days of operation for the site shall be Monday through Friday, except in the event of emergencies. Four, there shall be no outside storage on premise except raw materials such as sand, stone, and mulch. Such storage shall be screened from view from neighboring properties and shall be inside a fenced-in area. Five, any security lights shall only be installed on the buildings and shall be directed downward and away from impacting neighboring properties. Six, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements, including entrance permit. Seven, all vehicle storage and maintenance will be inside the building. Eight, there shall be no on-site manufacturing of any fixtures for customers. Nine, the applicant will establish and maintain a 30-foot vegetated buffer along Route 54 and a property boundary with lands narrow formerly of the Bakers. Inside the vegetated buffer, a security fence will be constructed and maintained. Vegetated buffer will use the right tree for the right place guidelines of the State of Delaware Forestry Department. 10, there shall be no parking in the front yard setback. 11, any stormwater management pond shall be located away from the front setback. 12, a copy of the septic feasibility letter shall be provided prior to site plan review. And 13, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated, and that motion carried 4-0. I received no additional comments from any individual or agency to date since that public hearing, and that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
If no questions of Mr. Lang, the applicant representative.
Good afternoon. I'm David Rutt of the firm of Moore and Rutt, appearing on behalf of the applicant. As Mr. Lank indicated, this is an application by Herker Property Maintenance. The property itself is owned by a company named Omar Road LLC, which is the same principles as Herker. And they use that as a holding company. This is an application for conditional use of 2 acres of a 8.45 acre parcel. And the purpose is to construct an office and a warehouse. The warehouse would be about 12,000 square feet with an area above the office for an apartment. The applicant is present here, a representative of the applicant, George Herker Jr., who's the son of the principal owner and the company representative. He is the Southern Division Supervisor of Operations. Some background on Herker Property Maintenance. If you look at the booklet at tab 9, there is a brochure that describes Herker. They've been in business for over 30 years, primarily in southeast Pennsylvania, and this would be their first satellite facility. Their primary service is the maintenance of commercial sites owned or leased by companies such as Wawa, Home Depot, Mercantile Peninsula Bank, Coldwell Banker Realty. Herker provides the landscaping, building maintenance, parking lot maintenance, snow removal, and so forth for those companies. They contract that out. You'll note that the brochure does have a local number. However, Herker has been providing those services from its Pennsylvania location, which is shown on the brochure. It requires the crews to travel 2-3 hours to do this, as these companies have expanded into this area. It seeks to have the application site approved, from which it can provide these services for the Delmarva Peninsula from Smyrna South to the Maryland-Virginia line. They would be providing services as far as Cambridge and, as indicated, up to Smyrna. That way, any business that they serve of this type would be within about an hour and a half drive maximum. From this site, they have good east-west and north-south access to major routes. And as indicated in the preliminary comments, there is a letter of support from Wawa and also from Mercantile Peninsula Bank. Herker has been approached by other companies, I can't really say who, but other companies to provide similar types of services in the area. The on the site itself, if you look at tab 10, you'll note that there is a building with a parking lot and an area in behind. We realize this is a preliminary site plan, and based on some of the requirements and recommendations and comments that we made, there will have to be adjustment to that. However, this gives you a general idea of what they intend to do and the amount of room that they have. The final site plan obviously will be made a part or re-submitted to planning and zoning. There is no tax ditch involved on this property. The applicant will maintain all necessary erosion and sediment control during construction. There is no flood hazard. The Soil Conservation District did not indicate any impairment or any requirements for on-site or off-site drainage for the improvements. This was a wooded site that has been thinned somewhat by the applicant. However, they will keep the vegetative buffer on the west and on the south side, the south being adjacent to Road 54 and the west adjacent to the Baker property. The trees that are still there are native vegetation, and any trees that they do replace or any other vegetation will also be native vegetation so that they meet the right tree for right place requirement. There are no wetlands on the site. They intend to have a wet stormwater pond to the rear of the building itself, and they would put a dry hydrant in that wet pond for potential fire use, fire trucks. And they would make that available to the fire company. I think this is Frankfort Fire Company. Now, there is going to be a gate there, but they could provide like a Knox box type of facility or key so that the fire company could draw water from that pond if they needed to for this area. The property would have inside the buffer, or there would be inside the buffer, a security fence which would go around the building itself and around the pond. The building would be built by J.S. Kramer Contractors in Milford and would be a Delmarva pole building. If you look at tabs 11 and 12, it gives a depiction of the type of building and some information about the contractor. It would be generally a barn type look with multiple doors or bays with the office area on one end and the apartment above. You'll note that the apartment area is shown there. They don't intend to build that out at this point. They will put in the plumbing and electricity and so forth and fit that out at some later date. There are other similar types of buildings in the area, contractor shops, pole barn type of shops. So this will not adversely impact the neighborhood. Now, all their equipment and vehicles would be stored in the warehouse area at night and on the weekends, and all service would be done inside. They do not have any on-site fueling. That would all be done at local gas stations. There would, of course, be some oil for service and grease and that type of thing, but no gasoline. There would be raw materials stored outside in the rear. That would be things like mulch, stone, sand, and that would only be for their own use. There'd be no retail sale of that. It would be strictly for their own operation. All fabricated materials, signs, fences, posts, and that type of thing will be stored inside. The delivery of the raw materials would occur about once a week at the most, depending on the need, but generally it's about once every 2 weeks that they would get a load of the mulch or the sand as needed. There would be no on-site fabrication or manufacturing. All of that would be, you know, pre-purchased. The employees that they would have would be a manager, an office assistant, a salesperson, and about 4 to 6 employees doing the service. And it's their intent to hire locally to fill those positions. There would be minimal traffic coming to and from the site. The support facilities report is contained at tab 8 in the booklet. And they did not, Del Dot did not require any traffic impact study. Typically what would happen, everybody would arrive at work in the morning, the service trucks would leave, they'd be gone all day, come back in the evening, and they'd get in their cars and take off. There really would not be anybody coming to the building itself, except on a rare occasion, because they would have a salesperson out and about. The building would have a security system and directional lighting. There would be private water and septic on site. The hours of operation are 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, except in the event of emergencies. If there is a blizzard and they need to get to their trucks to do snow removal on a Saturday, then they would have to be open for that type of thing. The site plan will show parking for the employees. They estimate 6 service vehicles at this site. There'd be different types of vehicles, so they may not all be out at one time. It would depend on the work that had to be done. The signage that they would request or ask be approved would be an 8x4 sign with a directional lighting, no backlight. And we feel that based on the information that's been submitted, the record made before planning and zoning, that this will serve a need to other businesses in the area that have facilities. It will generate new jobs. Herker does have a proven track record, and we ask that you approve the application with the conditions that have been stated by planning and zoning. Thank you.
Questions, gentlemen?
Yeah, Mr. The nature of the area is there's still a lot of residential houses in the immediate area, so we need to be concerned about, you know, their quality of life and with this operation nearby. So is it, when I read here that there will be no outside storage except raw materials, would that preclude anything that would like give an odor? Because sometimes, you know, fertilizers and stuff could sit there and just percolate, you know, certain odors, and that could, you know, be a constant annoyance, you know, possibly. So of your landscaping, of the stockpiled raw materials, is it mostly going to just be landscaping type of stuff? Could we get a clearer picture maybe of that?
How you doing? George Herker, 38 John Hall Drive. The only materials that we're going to have out there won't be fertilizers or anything like that. Would be your basic dyed mulch, stone, topsoil, anything like that.
Okay, because I see from your brochure you do patching like asphalt. I mean, there's not going to be any stockpiling of asphalt there.
No, it'll be picked up.
Okay, and concrete, there won't be any stockpiling of concrete.
That's correct.
Debris,
just bags,
like
which
that.
Would be inside.
Okay. The other thing, you know, we saw 84 Lumber, and you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. When their new building, some of the residential neighbors were concerned about the backing up of their vehicles that lift up the material and all that beeping that's going on at all hours of the day. Is it possible to put in something there that you're not, you know, because when you're scooping up something, it, you don't have this beeping going on to in this, again, it's still traditionally a residential area. Is there any problem addressing that, or is there a way to address it?
Yeah, water.
That's somewhat of an OSHA issue.
Well, I don't know.
You're talking.
Yeah, he's talking about the warning device.
Right.
Yeah, warning device on a lot of those little vehicles. Right?
I think that aren't you required if you have employees by the state or the feds or something like that?
Yeah, that's OSHA.
I don't know. I'm asking you guys.
That's what I'm telling you. It's an OSHA requirement.
You're sure? Okay, you're sure of that?
Yes.
Because I've seen some of them that don't have it, I guess.
Older
ones don't.
They probably had snips.
Okay, and there's no problem putting in here, no retail? You mentioned there's no retail?
Retail sales?
No retail sales off the site?
That's correct.
And that doesn't seem to be a...
Go ahead and shoot it again.
Gentlemen, if you'd be quiet a minute, retail sales. He said there'd be no retail sales. It's not listed under the conditions. Is it possible we add no retail sales?
It's perfectly fine.
That's what I'm just asking.
Is that all right with you?
There's a consensus. They stated it.
Okay.
I mean, they're the ones that said it, no retail sales. I'm just regurgitating what they said, if you'll follow along. Are we moving too fast for you, Mr. Fitzgerald?
Well, I don't know. They might need retail sales down the road.
Well, then they can come back and ask, but they said there'd be no retail sales, so I just said let's put it in as a condition, right?
Yes, sir. No retail sales of the raw materials. They would use that strictly for their own
right.
purposes.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to, they're service oriented. People come in and talk about services. That's something different. And you addressed hours of operation. Again, that's, again, still largely residential in this area. Al, could you clarify that? It's not part of the conditions. It says, you said 7 to 7?
That's correct, 7 to 7.
It is part of
it. I'm sorry.
Number 2 fast.
I didn't read it. I missed it. Okay, 7 to 7, that's 7 days a week?
No.
That one says Monday through Friday?
Number 3.
No Saturdays? Except the
Saturdays, possibly.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry. I didn't see that up there. I went through them.
Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
In the application that was originally filed and in your remarks, you mentioned that the second floor would contain an apartment.
Yes.
However, at the top of page 2 of the executive summary and on page 2 of the floor plan, which shows the second floor, it shows that that second floor would be used only for storage. Could you clear up that seeming inconsistency?
It would be, we're seeking to have approval for the apartment. They would not use that apartment immediately. The fit outs would be there, like the plumbing, the electricity, and so forth. And I believe if you read in the summary itself, that when the apartment is completed, it will probably be occupied by an employee.
So the building would still be exclusively for the company's use, not rented to outside tenants?
Correct. I don't know. This is a residential area. When we applied, we were told that there could be an apartment there, but for the initial plan is that it be used for an employee. But who says 5 years down the road?
I'm just asking you to explain it because the summary does say that the whole building would be exclusively for the applicant's use.
Okay.
So, are you saying that the applicant would like to have the ability to rent the apartment to someone other than an employee?
I would like to have that so that it's, that it's not, again, 5 years down the road, if they realize, no employees want to live there, that they would have the right to rent that to a third party.
Would also be difficult probably to,
enforce
something like that and find out who's living there and worry about it.
Have you had a chance to look at the conditions proposed by the Planning and Zoning Commission?
Yes.
And are they acceptable?
Yes.
And there was one mentioned possibly of one addition of no retail sales of raw materials. Is that acceptable?
Yes.
Any other questions, gentlemen?
I got one for Lawrence. Looking at the site plan, is the parking that's on the site plan adequate for like apartment plus business?
It would have to be revised to move the building anyway because of the buffer that was required. So parking will be required as a part of the code when it comes to site.
Okay.
It would give them 2 as an apartment, and then it would give them the extra based on the office square footage plus staff.
Okay.
But they 2 employees equals 1 parking place, even if they all come in separate cars.
Perfect. That's what the ordinance says.
I mean, it's hard to believe 2 employees are going to be related somehow. They're going to carpool, but that's the way the ordinance, I guess, reads.
Any other questions, gentlemen?
I don't get it.
Anything further, Mr. Rupp?
Nothing further, thank you.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized either in support of or in opposition to the application.
We will
close the public hearing.
Read title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an office and warehouse building with an apartment to be located in a certain parcel of land buying and feeding of eggs for 100 Sussex County containing 2 acres more or less.
The conditions with the amended one with the no retail, do we have to make that special or can we just say?
You just killed me, Mr. Dix.
Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Can we just include that?
I think we need to amend that, propose that as
a we first need to amend the conditions. Okay. I'll make a motion that we amend the conditions as set out with CU. CU 1679 to add a 14th, I believe, condition saying stating that there'd be no retail sales of the material on set, raw material.
I'll second that.
I have a motion by Mr. Cole to approve CU 1679, adding.
No, he's just amending.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you want to adding 14, right?
You're just adding the condition.
Right. I'm sorry. Have a motion, Mr. Cole, second Mr. Jones, to add number 14, says no retail of
material
on site. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried. Now I need a motion.
Make a motion to adopt CU 1679 with the amended conditions.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second Mr. Jones, to approve CU 1679 with the 14 conditions. Any questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes, with the conditions.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes, with the conditions.
Mr. Jones?
Yes, with the 14 conditions and facts of finding. Thank you.
And I agree with the 14 conditions. Motion is passed.
Is that sufficient record, Mr. Griffin? Okay. Sufficient reasons.
People could state their reasons, but we've been down that road. Next, Mr. Lang.
Are you satisfied with that, or do we need to read the conditions?
I'm satisfied with that.
Okay.
The next item is conditional use number 1710. Can I go?
Yep, I say that.
Condition 1710 is the application of Sussex County Association of Realtors to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a real estate education center and associate parking to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 2.66 acres, more or less, lying at the southwest corner of Route 9 and Park Avenue, also known as Truck Route 9. Planning and Zoning Commission again held public hearings on March the 8th on this application. For the benefit of council, I have a couple of booklets you can share. We make sure we got our copies of them. The applicant provided us with an exhibit booklet. Mr. Smith did not participate in the public hearing. We heard comments from Delta, Sussex Conservation District, County Engineering Department. Ruth Briggs King, Executive Vice President of the Sussex County Board of Realtors, was present. Virginia Byers, Attorney Ken Christianberry, Maxim LLC. He gave presentations. There were no parties present in support of or opposition to the application.
We're members, we shouldn't.
At the conclusion of the public hearing, the Commission discussed the application. Mr. Gordon stated he would move that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use 1710 for the Sussex County Association of Realtors for a real estate education center and associate parking. Based on the record and for the following reasons. One, this application is for a reasonable extension of conditional use number 1220. The use will not change under this application. The application continues the public nature of the use of the property. The applicant's use is a benefit to many Sussex County residents. The use is consistent with other uses in the area and will not adversely impact neighboring properties or area roadways. This recommendation is subject to the following conditions. Mm-hmm. One, the entrance shall remain restricted to Truck Route 9, being Road 321. And two, the site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The final site plan shall include a landscaping plan. There was a motion, a second, and carried with 4 votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. I think I said 4 votes, it was 3. And motion carried 3-0. Mr. Smith did not participate in the vote. I received no additional comments from any individual agency to date since the public hearing, and that's all I have to do unless you have questions.
Mr. President, I'm going to excuse myself. I'm a member of this esteemed organization, and I think Mr. Phillips is too. So, folks, God bless you. Three Democrats are going to make this decision.
Best thing to happen today, so far.
God bless you.
You better be nice.
You have called a break group. I'll tell you that right now.
Most of your responsible group in the county right there.
Mr. Cole, thank you.
Your future.
Your excuse, just go run your mouth and just call, please.
Why does this never happen when I'm Go figure. Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney for the Sussex County Board of Realtors. We have conditional use number 1710 to present to you. Today I have with me Ken Christenberry, who's with Axiom Engineering. By way of a brief introduction, this particular site is the office of the Sussex County Board of Realtors, located on Route 9 just east of Georgetown at an area where Truck Route 9 intersects Route 9 and Sand Hill Road. In 1997, a conditional use was granted for the current facility. The current facility consists of a one-story building, some parking, and over the course of the last 10 years, it has become inadequate for the purposes of the Board of Realtors. The present facility has a conferencing center that would make it easy for them to have 38 students, whether they're brokers or agents, in for their continuing education requirements or any other conferences. When more than 38 people are present, it's necessary for the board to schedule its projects off-site. What's being proposed is a one-story building for a conference center. It would include additional parking that would be in excess of the requirements of the ordinance. It would allow for the facility to have an electronic upgrade in order for a better presentation, either electronically by satellite, digitally, the use of LCD or LED screens, and so forth. We have submitted to you a summary book that includes the comments of Mr. Christenberry. There are several maps involved. There's a copy of conditional use number 1220 as it was adopted in 1997. And of course you have before you the recommendation in the minutes of the meeting of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. The only two things that I would like to add to that is that this is located within a developing area, as is noted on the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, and a level two in the state strategies map, which is for commercial and office areas to be permitted. Because this is an extension of a previously existing commercial use that was permitted by the conditional use in 1997, I think you'll find that many of the characteristics that you normally would explore, such as water, police, ambulance, sewer, what have you, are not necessary for this application. I will turn the podium over to Mr. Christenberry, who will give a brief description as to the nature of the surrounding area and the proposed improvements to the site. I have a couple comments in closing.
Good afternoon. I'm Christenberry, Axiom Engineering. If you could take your project booklet. Cover letter is just that. It gives a brief description of the association, the organization, and what its goals and objectives are, and the reason for the needed expansion.
Could you pull the mic just a little closer?
I'd be glad to. Is that better? Probably most significantly, I don't know if it's noted in here, when the initial conditional use was granted, the Sussex County Association of Realtors had about 800 members. That has almost doubled in the last decade.
Is it 1,500?
It's over 1,500 realtors are currently in their membership. So the need for this is pretty apparent. Beyond the cover letter, of course, is a zoning exhibit. This demonstrates that we are currently, the land that's under application is sandwiched between two existing conditional uses, one being the current use, the other being an antique store. And it's immediately across the street from commercially zoned property that's being used as a mechanic shop. It certainly is in keeping with the character of the neighborhood and the changes in the neighborhood as it is happening. What follows is the original conditional use as it was approved by County Council in 1997. Exhibit one is an aerial photograph that helps you to kind of visualize how the between the mechanic shop, the existing facility, and the antique shop, this area that's being proposed for this conditional use is in character with the surrounding areas. The rest of the aerial exhibits just provide a general feel of where the area is. As for the site plan itself, the Sussex County Association of Realtors owns three lots in this subdivision. Lot one is at the top of the site plan. It is shown to be dominated by parking only at this time. If this conditional use is granted, that lot may remain vacant for quite some time. If they don't need that parking, they may not construct it. They may come back in with some other kind of conditional use in the future. However, they would like the flexibility to be able to use that area for parking, and if it's zoned AR1, that would not be a possibility. Lots two is the existing facility. You can tell from the hatching on the site plan where the existing pavement ends, and lot three is the area where the proposed expansion would occur. A new septic system would be sited immediately behind the new building. We have got soils report that is behind this site plan that indicates that the area is suitable. An on-site well would be proposed. Whatever expansions to the existing stormwater facilities are required by the Sussex Conservation District would be designed and permitted before any construction were to commence. The parking that is shown on lots two and three only does exceed what is required for the square footage that is proposed. Again, the lot one is simply a future expansion parking area if the need is found to be that great. And I'm pleased to entertain any questions you gentlemen have at this time.
I guess they're going to be, being you're proposing, is it going to require stormwater management to really take on lot one?
We'll probably design the stormwater management as though that area is paved, so that if they do choose to pave it, all they'd have to do is put up silt fence and construct it. And then if they were to choose to come back with a conditional use for maybe an additional educational facility, the stormwater would be sized to handle essentially a complete build out of the site. So that's really the smart way to do it.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, the area in which this property is located is a site that is mixed in the sense that there are some commercial and automotive activities. On the adjacent corner, there are also some residences in the area. There is, of course, an airport well known to you, not too distant from this facility, as well as small fields that you may have some familiarity with. Because this is an expansion of a previously existing conditional use as a public or semi-public use, it's desirable for the county, complies with the state spending strategy, and there's little or no impact on the neighboring properties. We would ask that you act favorably on this application. I do have three members of the, I have the executive director, Ruth Briggs King, and two members of the board with me, who can answer any questions you have.
Any questions of Mr. Schrader or Ms. King or other representatives?
Let me add one thing I forgot to mention. There were two conditions that were attached to this by way of the approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. One of them is that the entrance continue off Truck Route 9. That is a continuation from the earlier approval in Condition Use 1220. And the second one is that it's subject to commercial site plan review by the Planning Commission, which also is a continuation of 1220. Neither of those is objectionable to the applicant. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions? Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard in support of this application?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Ruth Briggs King, representing the Realtor Association of Sussex County. And I would just like to stress our need for this, not just for the realtors in Sussex County, but for the community events we plan to house in it. As was mentioned earlier, we have grown from 800 and some members in 1998 to over 1,500 members today. And additionally, we serve outside of the county through multiple listing service, and that is technology is enhanced and is held inside our building. And so the structures are for administrative needs as much. We have increased our staff size from two in 1998 to four today. And so as you know, anytime you increase the staff, you increase your administrative design that's needed as well. We think we're good citizens, good community members, and we hope to use the technology we put in this building to forward different initiatives in Sussex County that involve around housing, affordable issues that are also in the county. So we hope that you approve this today so that we can move forward for ourselves and for some other not-for-profits in the area.
Thank you.